Right, let's turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Today we'll be beginning this chapter looking at the first four verses and really looking at a plan for peace. And the reason why I entitled that is because ultimately we're talking about the importance of prayer, and it's going to be for the purpose of having peace. And it's not just peace as far as our own personal lives are concerned, but really in regards to hopefully having peace in our country so that we're able to do what God has laid out for us to do in dealing with being able to minister the Word of God. Remember, that's our vision for this year, is to be able to be as far as motivated to minister. And we've been coming through and we look at chapter 1 and really seeing the details and the sense already laid out in chapter 1. We see it with this relationship that Paul has with Timothy, Timothy being his son in the faith, and how he's guiding him and directing him, especially as Timothy is a young man, pastor in the city of Ephesus. And again, we've talked about how that was a very tumultuous city in the sense for our spiritual warfare that was going on. And one of the things that Paul said is, like, the reason why I want you to stay in Ephesus is to charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And we saw the importance of that and coming through chapter 1 of the solid doctrine foundation that we have that was laid out for us by the Apostle Paul in dealing with the gospel of grace. And understanding it's more than just our salvation by grace, but living and not having the grace of God be given to us in vain. Yes, we're heaven bound as we accept Christ as our Savior, but God leaves us here and to give us grace to be able to minister the truth of His Word. We also saw where there are not only people that were teaching out of doctrine, but really had swerved and gone off into vain jangling or empty talk and things that trying to be teachers of the law and not understanding what they were teaching or anything that they were affirming. And Paul, by the end of this chapter, named two people specifically, and we covered that last week. I will draw your attention back to verses 19 and 20 of chapter 1. It says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Remember, that word blaspheme is dealing with speaking evil against God or His Word. Now, these are two people that they're saved. They're not like they were lost people doing this. They were saved people. They understood what the truth of the doctrine is, but they decided to swerve from that, and again, to be able to lead others astray as well. And so Paul says, we need to deliver them to Satan. If they're going to act like Satan, they're going to blaspheme like Satan, then let Satan take care of them, and hopefully that they would be ashamed enough that they would get their hearts back right. Now, this is important to understand as we start chapter 2. Because if you look at chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, I exhort, therefore. And every time you see the word therefore in Scripture, it refers back to the previous context of what's going on. And what's Paul been talking about? He's talked about people that are moved away from the truth of the Word of God. They're deceived and they're blaspheming. And so Paul telling Timothy, it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We're going to go on from there. But he lays out the importance of praying. It's important to pray because there are people that have gone astray. All right? Didn't mean to rhyme that, but it happens to rhyme. So maybe it's a nice catchy little phrase to think of. The importance of prayer. Because if you're not praying, and again we're going to see, based on really sound words or solid doctrine. We live in a day and age that, again, the time that we tend to pray is when something is going wrong. It seems like we don't really pray when things are going well or that sort of thing, but it's like there's some tragedy or something that's going on, especially when you see it in the world, that there's some tragic thing that happened. Well, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers. And I get that, that's under, and we talk about that, but how many people really actually pray biblically? I don't think it's an accident that we've seen in chapter 1 laying this foundation of solid doctrine, understanding what the Word of God says for us today in the gospel of grace. Because our prayer life needs to be based on that. I've used this example before, and we'll have a word of prayer and we'll get started into this, but if you happen to want some fast food and you're going to go to McDonald's, you're not going to ask for like a McRib or like a McLobster. That's it. They do have McRibs every once in a while. But McLobster. How come you're not going to ask for McLobster? Because it's not on the menu. It's not there. They don't make that. And if they did, it'd probably not probably a good idea to probably have one. All right? You order something that is on the menu. And hopefully, chances are that you will get that. I know in our day and age, the times you go to restaurants and you order something, well, we don't have that. Supply chain, whatever, there's not enough turkeys around, I don't know, that sort of thing. But normally you order what's on the menu and you're going to get it.
Well, our prayer life needs to be the same way. If I'm praying or ordering something, in a sense, I'm talking to God, I'm asking Him for something based off His Word, then I can be pretty confident that I'm going to be able to receive that because it's laid out in His Word. All right? And so we're going to see the importance of praying today, again, biblically, not just praying out of our whims or what we think, or like asking and God in a sense like He's a genie or something like that and a wish list, but understanding biblically, having a prayer life that's based off the Word of God and the importance of it, not only in our lives and the lives of others, but also our country. One of the things I said in our keys on Facebook this morning is like, if there's anything our country needs and the world needs, it's biblical prayer. It needs to be happening, and we as Christians need to be doing it. So we're going to have a word of prayer, and we'll get started on what we need to see today. The first couple of verses of this chapter, we're going to look at prayer specifically and define it out and all the different applications of it. And then we're going to look at the purpose behind the prayer in verses 3 and 4. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started on what we need to see today. Father in heaven, again, I thank You and praise You for the day. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the things that You have shown us in just the previous chapter and getting a good foundation and understanding of what it is to minister to others based on sound doctrine and based on the gospel grace that You've given to us through the Apostle Paul. Now we're looking at the second aspect, really, of our communication. Your Word is You communicating to us. Prayer is us communicating back to You and being able to ask and talk to You about the things that are laid out in Your Word, a perfect communication cycle there, Lord. And I pray that You help us to understand exactly the things that we need to see, to understand what prayer is all about, what biblical praying is all about, and that we need to make sure that we exercise ourselves there too. And Lord, not just to be praying for the things in our own lives, but the things in the lives of other people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and even those that we know around us that do not have a relationship with You, that need to come into a relationship with You through Jesus Christ, and be praying for them, and of course also praying in this for this country that we live in. Lord, I pray that You, again, allow us to open our hearts and minds, that You speak to us, Lord. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look into chapter 2 and verse 1. It says this again, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." And so we see here really four different aspects of prayer that is laid out. And the first thing that it says there is supplication. Now when Paul says, "I exhort," this is something that he's encouraging us to do, that we need to be doing, and that we need to be praying and have supplications. That's literally just dealing with requests. What are your supplications? What are your requests that you have of God? And again, those supplications, those requests should be based on doctrine that is given to us. Right? There's no need for me to pray in a sense like, okay, I looked at the weather and it looks like it's going to be raining starting Tuesday this week for the next 3 days after that or whatever. I don't have to worry about, okay, God, help me build an ark. I mean, yeah, it's in the Bible, and, you know, He has Noah build an ark, but God's not going to destroy the world by flood, and I don't think we're going to have a flood happening next week or any magnitude of anything like that I need to build an ark. So it's not like I need to go to God and say, "Hey, Lord, help me to build an ark." That would be, in a sense, a foolish request, supplication, because, again, it's not needed. God promised He's not going to destroy the world by flood or anything like that. But if I go to God and say, "You know what, Lord, help me be a better husband." In Ephesians chapter 5, in our doctrine, it talks about how I need to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. That is a specific request that's according to the doctrine that is given to me, and that's what are the things that I need to be praying. Or help me be a better father. Help me to be a better pastor and being able to lay out the Word of God. Those are things that are in the Word of God to me. They're specific requests that we have. It goes on and it says prayers. Plural. Well, what's that? Simply just talking to God. How often do you actually just go to God and just talk to Him? There's no supplications, there's no requests. You're just talking to God. Talking to God like you would a friend, your spouse, that sort of thing. Maybe your child. And just, how's the day going? When's the last time that you just went to God and was like, didn't ask anything? And just like, "You know what, Lord? It's kind of been cool today at work, thank You. You know, that the last couple of days, it really hasn't been that busy for me. I haven't had to deal with anything going on. And I thank You for that. It's giving me time to just relax. Give me time to even talk to You right now." Just talk to Him. I mean, not coming with a wish list or, you know, Lord, can you do this, this, that, that, and the other. Just simply talking to God. And you can do that anytime, anywhere. Driving, fishing, because, you know, I do a lot of fishing, and that's pretty much all when you go fishing. What else are you going to do? You're probably not going to catch any fish. Why don't we talk to God about it? All right, that's what Arnold's like. Yeah, right. Okay, I have proof. We went out twice. I caught nothing. I caught branches. No, I had a good time with Arnold. But, I mean, you can do it anytime. Whether you're doing chores around the house, whatever, you can just talk to God about things that are going on. All right? That sort of thing. The next thing it says there is intercessions. That's praying on the behalf of somebody else. You're interceding for them. Much like, and I'm going to have you turn there, but in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit of God intercedes for us to God the Father. Because He knows exactly God's will and knows exactly what we need in our lives. But you know what? There are times where we need to what? Pray on the behalf of others. We do that. You know, we have part of our worship service. We talk about prayer requests. We ask for prayer requests. And who can we be praying for? Right? Is there something going on in somebody's life? Let's intercede on their behalf and pray for them about that circumstance. There's times where maybe it's a tough time that people are going through and they just really don't know how to pray like they need to pray. They need other brothers and sisters of Christ to uplift that prayer request to the Lord for them. That's interceding, that you're praying on behalf of others, which is really good because you're not just going to God and focus on, God, this is what I need. Lord, so-and-so needs this. So-and-so is going through this, Lord, and your word says about how you're the God of all comfort, and Lord, I'm just praying that you give them peace through this situation, help them in going through it. You're interceding on the behalf of somebody else. The fourth thing that is mentioned here is giving thanks. Oh, that's important. I don't have time to go through all the importance of giving thanks. But it's so important that even in Romans chapter 1, and God is laying out how society has just gone downhill. And one of the things it says is when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. And the second thing it says, and neither were they thankful. Being thankful for the things that God has done for you. Instead of just going to God and again, it's like, here's what I need, and so forth. And again, that's important. We're going to look at a verse that talks about that in a sense, but just thanking Him. Every other time, I'm going to go to God, I'm not going to ask anything of Him, I'm just going to thank Him for what He has done. As parents, or just even as adults, let's just say, it's like, don't kind of have an issue when you do something for somebody and they never stop to say thank you? Always like if I get to a door first and somebody's behind me and I try to open the door for them, doesn't matter if they're male or female, doesn't matter. Just open the door for them, you know. And sometimes I just wonder, are they going to say thank you or not? You have people say thank you and then you have people just walk them through like that's what you're supposed to be doing. That sort of thing. Being thankful. Well, what do you think God the Father? Just being thankful. Sometimes I open up my prayers, and it's not just a ritual kind of thing, but Lord, thank you that I'm awake. Thank you that you gave me some rest. Thank you for the time in your word. Just try to start out with some thank yous as opposed to just, God, I need this, I need that, and the other, I got this going on, and Lord, I'd really like it if... No, just being thankful. I want you to notice something here. First of all, I want you to go back to a very familiar verse around here, but I want you to look at it. I want you to go to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Again, prayer is important, and it's something that we can't forget. As much as we talk about the importance of being in the Word of God and allowing God to speak to us, of course we need to turn around and speak to Him. He wants to hear from us, all right? And so in Philippians chapter 4, I want you to look at it in verse 6 and verse 7. It says this, be careful for nothing. That means don't be full of care. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Those are three of the different categories of prayer that we are talking about from 1 Timothy chapter 2. All right? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, just talking to God, and supplication, specific requests, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. No matter what it is, how big, how small, God wants to know about it. Now, of course, God is all-knowing, but He wants to hear from you. He wants you to go to Him in prayer. to ask of Him, to depend on Him, like that song, that hymn that we sung just a few minutes ago, leaning on the everlasting arms, that we're leaning on Him. He wants to help us, but He wants to hear from us. And it goes on again, and it says in verse 6, let's be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then there's verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, this is probably some of the best therapy that can be done. Now, people are in an age, they go through a lot of issues and a lot of problems, and I need somebody to talk to them. It's good to talk to people. We're going to talk about that later, and just some of the things that we're going to talk about and being motivated to minister this year. But first and foremost, just talking to God. You're struggling, you're going through something, talk to God about it. Don't be full of care and anxiety and everything about it. Stressed out, give it to God, because He's able to give you that peace that passes all understanding. It may make no sense to the world of why you would have peace in the midst of a tragic situation, and it can only be explained because of the God of peace that we have and just trusting in Him. God's going to answer your prayer, but you know what you need most, especially if you're full of care? You need peace of heart and mind. Now, I've explained this many times before, and it's good. That's my job as a pastor, is the repetition of the Word of God. Repetition is the price of learning, because we tend to forget. I tend to forget, really, in the sense of just like going through a struggle, going through a situation. I need to talk to God about it to get a hold of that peace that can keep my heart and mind. Heart dealing with your emotions, mind dealing with your thoughts. A lot of times we don't even see clearly the path that God lays out for us because our emotions are all worked up, our thoughts are all worked up, and what we need is God's peace to keep that, to deal with that. So how do we do that? Talk to God about it. Here's the thing. The Lord already knows what's going on in your life. He already knows. And He's just wanting you to ask for help. Remember, it's a choice. Did God make you get saved? Did God come down and say, you know what? You don't have any control in this matter. You're saved. You're going to heaven, whether you like it or not. No. What did He do? He presents the truth to you, and you choose whether you're going to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior or not. He wants you to. All right? We're going to see that in a little bit in the message, how He desires everyone to come to Christ. A relationship with Him, but He's not going to make you do it. You choose. Well, guess what? Prayer's the same way. He has all the peace in the world to give you. He has the answers to all your problems and situations, but it's your choice whether you're going to ask or not. I know I've given this illustration before in the past, but so we're living in Canada. Andrew was young. We loved one of our favorite pastimes, playing with Legos. It's a perfect example. I'm sitting on the couch. We're doing some Legos, and he's trying to get two of the Lego bricks apart. He couldn't do it. Didn't have the strength, whatever. It was like attached too strong, whatever the case was. And I'm just sitting there watching him. Now, I know what needs to happen. I know he wants to take those two bricks apart. I can see it. It's not a hard thing to see. I'm on the couch. He's on the floor. I got a perspective. I'm the father, he's the son, and he's struggling. And I was not just going to reach down and help him, because I wanted it to be a lesson. And he was in tears. In other words, he was in tears because he couldn't break those two pieces apart. And then finally, he asked me for help. And that's when I helped him. And the reason why I did that is to teach him a lesson. All right? And you know what? God the Father sees everything that's going on in your life. He knows the struggles that you're going through, and all He wants to do, He's ready to help you, but all you have to do is ask. Our problem is we want to try to handle and do everything ourselves. We don't want to be dependent on anything or anybody or things like that. We want to just think, I can just do it myself. And men, now I'm telling you, we are really bad at that. It's an ego problem we have. We want to talk about women and emotions and things like that and so forth. And we're going to talk about some of those things later in chapter 2. Some touchy things about the difference between the roles of men and women. All right, a little bit touchy, especially in today's age. But, you know, us guys, we have an ego problem. I've said it before. All right? I'm going to be lost as I don't know what. No, I'm going to find a way.
Pride. It's ego. Not wanting to depend on somebody else to stop and get directions. Or going to a grocery store. You guys know how I love shopping. I don't know where things are at in a grocery store. I used to be to where I will find it myself. I will wander all the way through. Then I realize, you know what? Why am I wasting all this time? There's somebody in the store and say, hey, can I help you? Yes. Where is this? Because I don't like shopping anywhere. I want to get in and get out and be done. Ask. We don't like to ask. And the Lord understands everything that's going on. He just wants us to ask Him for help. I want you to notice another reference here before we move on from this. I want you to go over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at two verses here, verses 17 and 18. Again, nothing new around here at all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. At the end of this book, Paul's given the Thessalonians a lot of quick commands, about 22 or so different commands here at the end of the chapter. In verse 17 it says, pray without ceasing. You want a verse to memorize? Easy verse to memorize? It's three words, pray without ceasing. In other words, always having an attitude of prayer. No matter where you're at, where you're going, no matter what's going on, you are talking to God about it. Pray without ceasing. The next thing it says in verse 18, in everything. And it means everything. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you're this morning thinking, I wonder what God's will is for my life, this is one thing right here. Clearly they have in the Word of God. In everything, give thanks. That's God's will for all of us in Christ Jesus. No matter what the circumstance is, give thanks. And it means in everything. Even the bad stuff, preacher? Yes. Even in the bad stuff, find a reason to be thankful to God. It can always be worse. It can be like, hey, you know, if it's just like, you know what? Everything looks so bad, but Lord, I am thankful that I'm saved. I am thankful that I can talk to you about it. I am thankful that you're God, that you see everything, and I just got to trust that you're going to work it out, even though I don't understand it. Let me be thankful for that. In everything, be thankful. Everything. How are we supposed to pray? And so, as we go back to 1 Timothy in chapter 2, it's important to understand and have these things down. Maybe the reason why Hymenaeus and Alexander got off track and started blaspheming and saying evil things about the Word of God, because what? They were not praying like they should have been. And that's the reason why they got off track. Because remember, what are we supposed to be praying? We need to be praying according to what the Word of God says. Sound doctrine? You go back to 1 Timothy in chapter 2 again. Before we move on to verse 2, again, I'm going to read it. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for some men. For the ones I like. For ones that are kind of cool. Now, for all men. All men. Even the ones that bug you. Even the ones that you have a personality difference. The ones that you don't even maybe get along with too well. You know, the ones that are at work or maybe in your neighborhood or maybe even in your family. I don't know. It's like, it says, for all men, pray about it. I mean, how often, and I'm preaching to myself, how often do I pray to the Lord about those that maybe I have some sort of personality conflict with, or I don't get why they do what they do. They kind of bug me, annoy me, because again, I'm sure that I'm the same way to somebody else, that I bug them and annoy them. But have I prayed about it? Have I got to know them enough in their life to say, hey, to pray about, again, to intercede on their behalf about maybe something that's going on in their life? Or do not even give them the time of day. All men may, it's all men. Alright? Everyone. Even the mean boss. Not saying that I don't have a mean boss. So boss, if you're listening, I don't think you're mean at all. You're a great guy. Alright? But be able to pray for all men, no matter what the circumstance and the situation is. And it goes on to, because it's important, going into verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We're talking about government officials. Honestly, in the United States, we don't have a king. There's other places, other countries, they still have a monarchy and that sort of thing. Some with power, some that are just a figurehead, that sort of thing. But again, it's dealing with the authority. We need to be praying. So when it says all men, because the sentence doesn't stop at the end of verse 1, it goes into for kings and for all that are in authority, praying for them. No matter what side of the aisle they're on. No matter for our country, if they're Democrat or Republican. We're supposed to be praying for kings and all that are in authority. Whether it's city government, whether it's county government, local government, or state government, whatever it is, the federal government, all. And you know what? Even dealing with the world. It's interesting that I was looking back at this, and last year at this time, actually back in February 24th specifically, Trisha's birthday, I had a note and a devotion that I had in reading this, and it's like, what? You know what? It even includes world leaders, because what happened last year, February 24th, was Putin from Russia did what? Invade Ukraine. And I said, Trish, how does it feel like to have World War III started on your birthday? I have a note in my Bible. It's like, you know what? It's not just praying for the government of the United States. It's praying for the world. That's important. Very important, all right? Why? And we're going to get into it, because we want to have a quiet and peaceable life. And we start talking about dealing with the government, all right? And again, I know we all have different ideas and opinions and whatever, and again, think how things should be run and all that. I totally get that. I want you to go back to Romans 13. Romans 13. And what is the Christian's responsibility in this? And I've talked about this quite often in the sense in the last number of years. You know, there's people that didn't like President Trump at all, you know, and actually downright didn't like him, and there's people today that do not like President Biden. And it's not a matter of what I think about each of these presidents or presidents in the past. As a believer in Christ, what am I commanded to do? What is my responsibility is to obey the laws of the land. Long as it's not a law that's going against the Word of God, those things I need to be obedient to. Here's what the Word of God says. Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 1. We're going to read down through verse 7. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. If you're talking about the government that is set, whatever country, wherever you live in, understand that is ordained and appointed by God. All right? And it goes on, it says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation, or dealing with judgment. That's the context of damnation. We're not talking about dealing with going to hell damnation. We're talking about the word is used in the idea of judgment. All right? Anarchy is not something that is God ordained. All right? God has instituted, really, three institutions to deal with sinful man. The family, the church, and the government. All right? Because we are sinners. All right? And sin running rampant is not a good thing. And so the whole idea of government that God has ordained is to keep man in check. All right? It goes on in verse 3. It says, for the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, the reason why I wanted to go through all this, because we talk about being obedient to the law of the land and even dealing with those taxes, tax season.
Now again, I wish that I never had to file my taxes. I never had to worry about the government taking any money or anything like that.
Matter of fact, I even joked when I became a municipal police officer. I was like, well, why do I need to pay city taxes? I work for the city. All right, am I kind of paying my own salary? Or now that I work for the state, well, why do I need to pay the state of Kansas taxes?
Well, my job tells me that I need to make sure or I'm not going to have a job if I don't pay my state taxes.
I like the things that government provides in a sense, as far as, you know, I'm glad I don't have to take care of my own sewage. I'll be happy to pay my money for them to take care of that. You know, whatever the case is, all right? That sort of thing. And it's like, this is biblical. This is what God commands. Now, another reason why I don't read this, because this is what it's supposed to be. Government is supposed to be there. So the biggest thing is to keep the people safe. To deal with those that are doing that which is against the law. And the reason why I'm pointing that out is like, is that true in places in our country today? Is every government, whether city or state, and even federal, are they matching up to what God lays out, what a government is supposed to be? Are there not places where, you know what, it doesn't matter that they robbed somebody at gunpoint, well, since they didn't actually fire the gun, then we're going to have a lesser charge. Or let's get rid of any kind of bail or anything like that, because, you know, after all, these people are poor and they can't afford bail. It's not fair to them because rich people are able to do that. So to try to equal everything out, we're not going to have any bail for anything. How has that worked out in cities that have done that? Let's defund the police. You know, the ones that carry not the sword in vain. In other words, are ready to deal with those who are doing wrong. It's like, well, you know what? Let's not give them money. Talk bad about them. And again, I know there's some bad apples out there. I understand that. But how has it worked out for cities that say, you know what? Let's not do that. Let's just kind of get rid of police and let's do it and put that money somewhere else. How has that worked out? Again, I'm not being political. I'm being biblical. And my point is this, and the reason why it's so important for us, especially as believers, to pray according to sound doctrine and to pray for leaders that hopefully that will do things, whether they're saved or not, but in the sense that they would do things according to biblical principles. You know why it's so important? Who here remembers the first king that the nation of Israel had? It was Saul. Not David. It was Saul. Saul's name literally means asked for. Now, God had already prepared. He was going to have somebody to be king over the nation of Israel. But the nation of Israel, they wanted to have a king like everybody else in the world around them. And they got exactly what they asked for. They got Saul, who was a terrible king. He didn't follow God's command. Now again, it wasn't that God picked somebody and then gave Saul every opportunity to do what is right. When you read that, it's like God gave him a new heart. He gave him everything that he needed to be successful as a king of Israel. But he didn't want to follow the word of God. And it messed the nation of Israel up. And then God finally gave them a king after his own heart, David. And the reason why, and God says this of no other person in the Bible, a man after my heart, why? Because David had a heart for the Word, to do things according to the Word of God. And Christians, why is this so important? Why am I taking so much time with this? Because if we want to have a government that is more biblical, that is going to do according to what the Word of God says, then maybe we ought to be praying to that end. I want you to go back to, again, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Again, from verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
We talk about this importance of prayer and why we need to do that is because so that we can have a time that we live in peace. Quietness and peace. And we have a government because that doesn't want to care about biblical truth, biblical principles. If we want to have a government like the nation of Israel, one that's like having Saul, then it's going to be hard for us to have a quiet and peaceable life. Case in point, remember this a few years ago? To fund this and all this other stuff and all this, and people started rioting. How well can you live a quiet and peaceable life when the building behind you is on fire? That's important. It's not just a theory. It's not just that God had nothing else to do, so let me write something about this. I exhort, therefore, first of all, prayers.
Our intercessions. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. And don't forget about their government leaders. Pray for them. You may not like them. You may not, in a sense, agree with what their policies are or anything like that. That's even more of a reason that we need to be praying. Because you know what? The heart of a king is in the hands of God. And he can turn it whichever way he will. You never know what God can do to a king's heart that is not even anything to do with God, can have them do biblical things because of what? Because we're praying. We're praying like we need to be praying. It goes on again, it says in verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, we're not going to take too much time in talking about godliness. We're going to be dealing with that specifically. That's one of the mysteries, the seven mysteries that we're held accountable to. If you just take a glance over in chapter 3 of the same book, down in verse 16, everybody knows John 3:16, but this is 1 Timothy 3:16. It says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. That word godliness is a contraction of the words God-likeness. All right? To be like God. The mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up into glory. That is our gospel. That is the gospel of grace. Again, I'll take more time to deal with that once we get to that reference. All right? But that's why we need to be praying for all men, for our government leaders. Why? Quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Why? The plan for peace. Not only have peace in our lives, as we talked about from Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, but also peace in our country. So that we're able to do what? What's our vision this year? Being motivated to minister. To minister the truth of the Word of God to others. You look at verse 3. I'll read verse 3 and 4. It says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's why we need to be praying like this. Praying for all men. Praying for our government leaders so that we can have a quiet and peaceable life. That we have, hopefully, you know, leaders that will do the right thing and not do things that's going to cause our country to be going down the drain. That there's riots and things and criminals all over the place. Kind of hard to minister to people if we're in a situation that is tumultuous. If there's any reason that you can have for praying for our government leaders, praying for our country, even though you don't agree with their policies or anything like that, it's praying this. And this is how this is what I often pray for. Lord, I'm praying for this person. I'm praying for our government leaders. I'm praying for this very reason, that we can have a quiet and peaceful life, so I'm able to do what? To be able to share the truth of the Word of God with others. It's easier to do that when things are calm, as opposed to trying to do that when there's a riot going on. If you can't think of any other reason to pray for our leaders today, this is it. Now notice, we're going to be held accountable to this, because that's what verse 3 is saying. Again, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. We're talking about doing things in the sight of God our Savior. It's about accountability. Oh, let me give you a couple of references in dealing with that. I just need you to go back to 2 Corinthians real quick. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 first and foremost. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. This is the last reference that we had in our scripture reading last week as we finished out chapter 2 in this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I want you to look down in verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. See something else that's good in the sight of God our Savior. It says this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, like a Hymenaeus or Alexander, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Again, Paul understood his accountability before God. It's in his sight. This is something that we're held accountable for, and we need to make sure that we're not corrupting the Word of God, but teaching it in sincerity. I want you to know something else. Since we're in the neighborhood, just go over to chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. There's that word, therefore. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, this should be familiar, because we've already talked about this very thing, right? In chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. With God's mercy. We have a ministry. All right? We receive that. And it goes on in verse 2 and it says, but contrast. Right? We can't faint in this. We can't stop doing what God has given us to do and ministering the truth of the Word of God, no matter what the circumstance of the situation is. He goes in verse 2, it says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. It's that accountability again. And just like as we've seen in 2 Corinthians here in chapter 2, 17, and in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, of again, how we need to handle the Word of God, not corrupting it. Right? Things that we've already really seen from 1 Timothy chapter 1. We don't want to be like a Hymenaeus and an Alexander, but we're laying out the truth of the Word of God in sincerity, in the sight of God, understanding our accountability. And just like we're supposed to be laying out and preaching and teaching the Word of God, again, not corruptly, but in sincerity, we also need to be praying according to the truth of God's Word, because it's in the sight of God. This is what He wants us to do. This is what's acceptable. Don't you want to do the things that are acceptable to the Lord? The things that please Him? Well, this is exactly what pleases Him. This is what's acceptable, praying biblically for one another, for all men, including our country. If there's anything that the United States of America needs today, are believers in Christ that understand the truth of the Word of God and that be praying accordingly. A lot of times, as it says in James, we have not because what? We ask not. We simply don't ask. And then we want to whine and cry to God of why things are not going well in our country or in our lives. Have you stopped to be in the Word, to read the Word? And have you prayed to God about what you read in the Word? It really is that simple. It really is. Whether it's the life, your own life, the lives of others, our country, it really is that simple. And it's not complicated. Spend time in a book, talk to God about it. That's simple. That's not complicated. That's not hard. It's just a matter of you want to do it. Are you going to choose to be in the Word of God? Let the Word of God dwell in you? And are you going to choose to pray to God? Verse 4. Again, I'm going to read from verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. What does that sound like again? Ministry. ministry. God wants to use us to try to reach all men. Because that's God's desire. He wants all men to be saved. Oh, wait a minute. Haven't I seen that phrase, all men, before just a minute ago? I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Right now, God's in heaven desiring all men to be saved. Obviously, there's people on planet Earth that are saved now. I pray that you are saved. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But there's a whole ton of people that are not saved. It's almost 8 billion people on planet Earth today. That's a lot of people. Hardly even fat. I mean, if Chief Stadium is full to the brim, how many people is that? Like there's a whole, 70,000 people? And you see that on TV, or if you've gone to a Chiefs football game when it is just sold out, man, that's a lot of people. And that doesn't even, not a drop in a bucket to 8 billion people. And God right now wants all of them to be saved. Not just those in the United States of America. Not those in Africa. Not those in the Amazon. He wants everyone to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. There's two things there. We're going to talk about that in a second. But first, let's just deal with the salvation part. All men. So that means we need to be praying for all men, like it said earlier. I want you to go back to the Gospel of John real quick and talking about this. In Gospel of John, I want you to look in chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. I want you to, let's pick it up in verse 6. Get to myself. Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 6. It's talking about John the Baptist, not John the writer of the Gospel here. One of the apostles, but John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And it says this in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, capital L, that's Jesus Christ, that all men through him might believe. Not some. It's not even just dealing with the nation of Israel. Yeah, Jesus Christ came to the Jews first. But the point was for all men. Every last one of them. People want to talk about, Christianity, that's so exclusive. No, it's inclusive. It wants everybody. But it's based on the Word of God. It says in verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Believers in Christ, what are we? We once were darkness, but now are we light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's what Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 talks about. We were in darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. And we're supposed to walk as children of light. Why? Because God wants all men to believe. To be saved. Whether we have a personality difference with them or whatever, whether we don't have the same, it doesn't matter. Their soul matters. I wonder how many people were praying for Saul. Saul, for the Apostle Paul, before he was Apostle Paul. Remember when he was wasting the church? He was being blasphemous and so forth and taking people into prison and at the stoning of Stephen and all that. I wonder how many believers were praying for Saul at that time. I'm preaching to myself. I am. You're still in John, the famous John 3:16. John 3:16, what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So whosoever is whosoever. It's open to everyone.
every culture, every country, every place. You know what? The Lord wants us to be praying for all men. Praying for our government that we can live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Doing that in the sight of God. Why? Because He wants all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. I want you to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 one more time. Pick up this last thing. Who will have all men to be saved. That's the first thing. And means there's something else. To come unto the knowledge of the truth. When you think about, well, in understanding Jesus Christ and how He died on the cross for your sins and how He was buried and rose again the third day, and that you accept that, you believe that in your heart, isn't that truth? Yes, it is. But there's more to it, in a sense, after the truth of salvation. It's interesting that God, He separates it out that way. I want all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Because the problem with Christianity today is, as I've said so many times, we stop at the first part. Oh, we want to talk about evangelism. Oh, we need to be fishers of men, and we need to go reach the lost and get them saved. We need to go door to door. We need to do this, all this other stuff. We make all this effort to get them saved, and then we do nothing. Wonder why churches are dying out. Wonder why, how come, where's so-and-so? How come I don't see them around? I guarantee you there's a lot of churches that are preaching salvation message. And there's obviously nothing wrong with that, but you're doing that every week after week after week after week. And those of their congregation that are saved are dying on the vine. Because you're not giving them the knowledge of the truth. After salvation. We don't work for our salvation, but we are saved in order to do what? Good work, to be able to minister. And so we need the truth to grow by. That's the problem with I hate to so much talk about what's wrong with the church, but it's hard in this day and age, and seeing what the Word of God lays out, to not come and say, you know what? We are failing as a church. I'm going to be in my soapbox just a little bit right now. It's so easy for us Christians to talk so bad about our country and how it's going downhill. There it is. I see that. But what's our responsibility in it? How many of us Christians are talking so bad about our own government and our own country, but yet we won't even lift our voice in prayer for our government leaders? We won't try to share the truth with people. We expect somebody else to do it. Oh, that's for another time. I hope to be able to come to the judgment seat of Christ and be able to say, Lord, I did my best. I tried to do everything I can to share the truth, your doctrine, the grace of God that you've given us. I've tried everything that I can. I hope that would be your desire as well. To come unto the knowledge of the truth as well. It's not just a matter of being saved. It's a matter of growing in the Word of God. That's something we're going to talk about during our question and answer Bible study, what the importance of discipleship is. But right now, just real quickly, I want you to go to Colossians chapter 1. We'll be finished up here in just a couple of moments here. In Colossians chapter 1, talk about this knowledge of the truth. Colossians chapter 1, I want you to start in verse 3. I'm going to read down through verse 6. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Interesting. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. I'm
cannot say this any plainer, I don't think. You want to understand what it is to know the grace of God in truth? It's the understanding the gospel of grace that the Lord Jesus Christ communicated to Paul, and Paul communicated it to us. And we have it preserved in the Word of God from the book of Romans all the way through Philemon. It doesn't mean that the rest of the Bible, we just throw it out. No, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But He is specifically, in the gospel of grace, has given us Romans through Philemon, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles. That's knowing the grace of God in truth, which doesn't just include salvation. It includes being able to be glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we go from grace to glory, from salvation to ruling and reigning with Christ? That we need to come into the knowledge of the truth. We need to teach our believers, to teach our people the truth of the Word of God. One-on-one discipleship, so you can really understand what it is and the foundations of a relationship with the Lord. Understand what the gospel of grace is all about. And to continue on from there. One more reference. And we'll look in more detail with this in our question after Bible study as we talk about discipleship. But I just want to close with this one. I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians again. 1 Thessalonians, but this time in chapter 2, down in verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. It says this. Again, it's in the middle of a context. Again, we'll talk about this here in a little bit more so in the verses before, but in verse 12 it says this, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you two things, unto His kingdom and glory. Unto His kingdom is salvation. Unto His glory is to be able to rule and reign with Him, to be glorified in Christ. It's the same thing as all men being saved, and coming to the knowledge of the truth. That the Lord desires more from you than just accepting His Son for salvation, for the payment of your sins, for the payment of hell. Once that takes place, the truth that you need to know and understand is to be equipped so that you're able to minister to others, so that they too can come to the place of being glorified in Christ, to rule and to reign. Christianity today, we're just stuck in the sense of just, we need to get people saved. Let's just talk about loving God. We're not going to talk about doctrine. We're not going to get into details. We just want people to love God, come to Christ, and that's it. That's half the gospel. And really, that's the easy part. That's the beginning. Fucking karate, black belt is not the finished goal. That's the beginning of really being able to train in karate once you get the black belt. Most people think it's the end. No, it's the beginning. And just like in Christianity, you think I'm coming to salvation. Oh, we've done. We've got them saved. Well, praise God for that. What are we going to teach them the truth? So they can help you to be involved in ministry, to reach others. As we close here, plan for peace, importance of prayer, purpose behind it. If you can't think of any other reason to pray for all men, to pray for our government, our country, let it be this reason, that we can have enough quietness and peace, that there's not turmoil and riots and criminal behavior all over the place, that we can have a quiet and peaceful life, not just to enjoy for ourselves, but to do what? To be able to share the gospel of grace with others, because that's what the Lord intends. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You and praise You for the day again. I thank You for Your Word and just getting started in chapter 2. So much to, I think upon. Lord, and I hope that we're convicted. I hope this is a message that changes some things in our lives. and not just for today, not just for this week, but until we stand before you, that we would actually and honestly throughout the week be praying for others. That's specifically what we're going to do on Wednesday. It's praying for opportunities and for people to be able to minister to. And Lord, you know, we need to pray for the United States of America. We need to pray for the state of Kansas, where we're at, or Missouri. We need to pray for our cities that we live in. We need to pray for our those who are in authority. And Lord, that you would give them wisdom. That they would do the things and make decisions and laws and policies based off, whether they realize it or not, the truth of your word. That we can live a quiet and peaceful life in order to share the gospel of grace. Your truth, Lord, to be able to reach others. Help us to think long and hard on this. And Lord, apply it to our lives. Ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.